Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Support Wrestle Talk.
Give us a subscribe.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by Chopper Pete Quinnell. How's it going, Chop?
Yeah, all right, mate. I am tired, but what else is new?
Well, you've got a big old weekend ahead of you as well. Because
I sure do.
Usually, like, you know, when I do the show with Denise on a Friday, Denise is not here this week, I'm afraid, She is in Chicago, being all Hollywood and all that, going to All Out and whatnot, hanging out with Sean Ross Sapp and all the other cool wrestling people.
Tempest.
Yeah, Tempest.
Did you see that tweet?
Yeah. So in case anyone didn't see it, Denise put up a tweet being like, this random guy came up to me while I was waiting for my taxi to take me back to the hotel and using my name. I was like, who are you? It was Tempest.
This is so funny. Yeah.
Tempest, don't take that mask off, everyone. Made me laugh. Anyway, so let's get into this main show itself, and then we'll talk about our upcoming weekends. We're going to be talking about this weekend's All Out, potential debuts that could happen, why they shouldn't happen, where else they could happen, where on the shows. It's a very fun discussion. It's me, Pete and Laurie. Here's the show. Who on earth is going to debut at AEW All Out this coming weekend? I am Luke Cohen, and I'm not joined by the hardest working person in all of sports infotainment, Denise Salcedo, this week because she's being hard at work in Chicago. Instead, it's the boys from the Dwarf. I'm joined by Chopper Pete Quinnell and El Fakador, Laurie Blake. It's a Wrestle Talk team doing the Wrestle Talk podcast, which is a bit of a nice change, isn't it?
Unbelievable.
Ow. Yeah. Wrestle Talk guys on a Wrestle Talk podcast is unheard of.
You don't see it often. In fact, actually, as Laurie was saying just before we started, and Pete actually mentioned this as well, this is the second podcast that Pete and Laurie have done together this week. But perhaps more controversially, it's the second podcast that Laurie has done this week. We've allowed him on two shows.
Yeah, they don't let me talk at length just in case something comes out. So
I feel like it was getting there on NXT.
Dangerous. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably make AEW cross or something.
To be fair, I was
then
the one that
then what would we do without the paychecks?
Yeah.
I was going to say, if we can't get that Khan coin in, like, this whole channel's going to fall apart. We should have to rely on Patreon to start just doing some more Patreon stuff.
Yeah. Khan coin sounds like cryptocurrency. Like a really crap cryptocurrency that we've been foisted into.
Well, it is All Out this coming weekend. Chopper Pete, you're going to be doing live reactions to the show with Oliver Davis in the office. We're actually, just before we came on air, we're also working out
who's going to be doing the edited review and all this sort of stuff, because it's all changed. Now we're all like back in the office. We don't really know how to make content anymore so that it all like makes sense and everything. So we're all working that out, but it is all out this weekend. I, for one, am super duper excited about it. Pete, I know you're excited about it as well, but Laurie Blake, how are you feeling about the show?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited, Luke. I don't like to get, too emotional about things, but yeah, I think this is going to be a, I might smile at some point when it's happening. I might even go, ooh, and CM Punk does a thing. I might not. I'm not saying, yeah. I will. Don't get ahead of yourselves, guys. Like, I don't want to get too crazy. But yeah, I might also do a like,
If there's like a, if there's a Canadian destroyer at some point.
Yeah, if there's a Canadian destroyer, I might go,
Nice, I like it. I like to see it. Pete, how are you feeling about the show?
I'm really, really excited. One, because, again, I get to watch it with another person. That's good. That's fun. And I think it's going to be a really fun show. I'm so excited to watch CM Punk wrestle again. I'm a little bit nervous about it for him, on his behalf, but also I'm looking forward to it. I think they know what they're doing, and there's a lot of matches, as we saw on the prediction stream, there's a lot of matches where I just don't know who the winner's going to be. So I'm excited for a lot of those matches too.
Yeah, 10 big matches. It is Punk's first match in like 7 years and stuff. Like, I can't even begin to think of the pressure that's on Punk, like, for this match. Like, I can't even... I mean, he had a ton of pressure on him before his first UFC fights, which I'd imagine was pretty big. But this is totally different. This is CM Punk stepping back into a wrestling ring. The best in the world stepping back into a wrestling ring in Chicago, likely the main event. Laurie, man, this is going to be like, the pressure's going to be nuts.
I feel like the pressure at the UFC fight was more, because it was like, put your money where your mouth is. You've left wrestling at like peak time, and you've decided to do this other thing. And also, you're legitimately going to get punched in the face by someone. Like, that's pressure. This is a lot of pressure to be under. The good thing is, I think, is the goodwill that CM Punk will have generated going into this means that there is the fact that when he comes out in gear, people are going to chant holy S for that anyway. Like, do you know what I mean? So that there is the ability that this doesn't have to be a 5-star classic match. This has to be a competent return to the ring for CM Punk. And I think people will still love it.
Yeah, I think you're probably right on that one. It's like when you look back at the Money in the Bank match, you know, the all-time classic, the Cena match that he had at Money in the Bank in 2011, that is not the crispest match in the world. Like, there are sort of like, you know, a handful of botches throughout this, like noticeable as well. Like, it's pretty sloppy in places. But because of that crowd reaction and because of like the emotion and the story that it told throughout, it is considered like a 5-star, one of the best WWE main events of all time. I wonder, Pete, if this is going to kind of get the same deal, because it is like, it's his first match back in 7 years. This crowd are going to go bananas no matter what he does.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that a lot of people, like Laurie said, they just want it to be a competent return, and that is fine. People want to see Punk succeed. So even if the return is fine, people will be like, perfect. That's all we wanted. It's good. He's still good. He's just a little older. He's still good is all they're going to be saying the whole time. And that's fine. It could be amazing, blow away knockout performance, the best Punk match we've ever seen or whatever. Probably not. But as long as people think that, hey, he's still CM Punk, he's still very good at what he does, then that's fine. People will cheer the hell out of him, and it's going to be a great match. And people really like Darby as well. People are just going to be really into this match. It's just going to be a lot of people that are just excited to watch the match happen, regardless of what happens in it.
I think Darby's an inspired choice. Sorry, Luke, to jump in, but I think Darby is an inspired choice for an opponent here, because Darby's the sort of person that can ragdoll himself around to make you look better. And Darby will do the kind of crazy stuff, and Punk can kind of take it easy-ish, I imagine. And then you've got the brilliant, like, you've got the added extra of a Sting being around, so you can have a Punk and Sting stare down, which is just enough to provoke a really big pop and a big chant out. Like, that, I'd pop for that so hard.
Yeah. I think that's the one thing, because Sting said on Dynamite that he's not going to be at ringside. So like, and I think that might miss. So, but we kind of got that moment a little bit on Dynamite. But yeah, I think you're right. Like something on the ramp. Like if Darby makes his entrance out first, and then Punk makes his, and like he has a little face off with Sting at the top of the ramp. Like there certainly could be something there. And like, yeah, I was only going to mention that we talk about the pressure on Punk. There's got to be pressure on Darby as well. Like, as the guy who was having Punk's first wrestling match in 7 years, handpicked to be the first match back. Like, that's also got to be, you know, butterflies in the old tum-tum, I would imagine. Pete.
Almost certainly, yeah. But I think the good thing for Darby is that everyone knows he's already a good wrestler. He's already proven that he can do it. So I think if he has a poor match, people won't be as annoyed as if it was someone completely new and like untested against Punk kind of thing. So I think there is a little bit of leeway for him. I think the one thing that Darby can't do is injure CM Punk, because the amount of people that would not be happy with that man, even if it is a complete accident, and you know, it's wrestling, injuries happen, you know, but if something goes wrong and it's Darby's fault and Punk gets injured, I think he might have to turn heel, because a lot of people would not be happy about it.
Hey, why did you say that?
I'm sorry.
Why did you try to speak it into existence?
I'm sorry. That's me thinking, like, that's literally the only way that I think this match can go wrong. Because you're put in Punk, who, yes, hasn't wrestled in 7 years, but was the best in the world at one point, against the guy that we know is a great wrestler in Darby Allin. The only way that can, like, screw up is if something goes wrong. I think if you put them out there and just have a match, that's fine. They're going to do great.
Sorry, Pete. Everyone's turning on you now. This is why they stuck Pete in a closet. Pete being the heel again. Boo, Pete Boone.
I think you guys forget I'm supposed to be a heel.
Well, there's other things happening at All Out. Obviously, we've got Kenny Omega versus Christian Cage for the title. There is our women's match. We've got Britt Baker versus Chris Statlander for the AEW Women's Championship. The Casino Women's Battle Royal as well, I suppose you could say, is technically a second women's match. It's on the main card now.
I think it is a women's match. Yeah. It's featuring women, so, you know.
Yeah. It's on the main card now because Pac and Andrade is off, so the 10-man tag is on the buy-in instead, which I think will be a lot of fun. But the other thing that people are talking about with this show are the potential debuts that we could see, which is what we are here to discuss today. So one of those guys, we'll do Danielson first, I think, because Bryan Danielson was rumored to have signed with AEW a couple of months back. They said like it was a done deal. I think it was Body Slam were the first people to say it was like it's a done deal. He is signed, and it's likely going to be at the New York show. I spoke with Andrew Zarian when I was on We're Live Pal with him, Garrett, and Denise, and he said on there, that's what I've heard. It's the New York show is when he's going to be making his debut. However, there are now some doubts about that New York show because COVID is a thing, and unfortunately, it's a thing that isn't exactly just gone away. So there's worries that that show might not go ahead as currently planned. So there was a report that he is being moved forward, and he's going to debut at All Out instead, I should say. Now, this is what Meltzer had to say in The Observer today. Obviously, Danielson is not confirmed in the sense by the promotion, but we've been told by multiple sources it was scheduled for All Out. Bodyslam.net had been the first to report it publicly. If it doesn't happen, it would be a change in plans. So that is a case of, you know, it's basically going to happen, but if it doesn't, plans change, brother. We're going somewhere else. Pete, how are you feeling about Danielson coming into All Elite Wrestling?
Generally, great. God, yes, please give me more Daniel. Literally, almost all the time when he was on his like final run on SmackDown, I would quite often say on the SmackDown reviews, it's like, just give me Daniel Bryan wrestling people. That's fine. That's all he needs to do is just wrestle people, because you don't need anything more than that. His like little series against Cesaro, a massive thumbs up. His stuff against Roman Reigns, amazing. Like his leaving match, his last match he had against Roman Reigns on SmackDown, amazing. Cool, just do more of that. So for him to come into a place that accepts that style so much more of just have a really good match, it's going to suit Danielson so, so well. And I cannot wait, because he's so good at wrestling. God, he's amazing. So I'm excited for that. And I genuinely am really excited to watch him, hopefully, debut on Sunday, because I think carrying that momentum of CM Punk through to get to Danielson to come in as well, and then potentially somewhere down the line in a couple of weeks, maybe at the New York show, have an Adam Cole. It's a good time. It's a good time to be an AEW fan, to get all these guys in, to have, like, it feels like AEW is entering the next phase of its existence. It's had the initial bit. It had, like, the whole pandemic situation. Now we're coming out of that. We're evolving into the next phase of AEW, and we're getting in the guys like Punk and Danielson and hopefully Cole, fingers crossed, please. And it'll be, I'm very excited for the company.
And as Mandy Savage says, he's got a slick haircut too.
Exactly.
Laurie, I suppose my question would be, though, with Punk on the show, does, you know, like, there's a lot of buzz around the show already. Does it need a Danielson debut?
So that's what I was going to say. I actually kind of disagree with Pete. I don't think we should be building the Punk into Bryan, and it should just be this kind of roller coaster of, like, here's more things. Like, Punk is big enough on its own. Like, just do that main event. That main event, if that does main event anyway, nothing else on that show matters. And I think they realized that when they moved Hangman and Kenny Omega. They don't want that moment swallowed by another moment, you know, like, and I think the same thing with Daniel Bryan. You don't necessarily want the Daniel Bryan moment to swallow a CM Punk moment, or the CM Punk moment to eat the Daniel Bryan moment. You might as well save it for a different show. I think you could tease it. I think you could say, like, what they could do at All Out is literally say he's going to be on the show, but it's on Rampage on Friday. Mm-hmm. And then you get big viewing figures for Rampage again, a huge boost to that. And then just do the same. Like, you could basically copy paste what you've done with CM Punk, but with Bryan Danielson. Like, it wouldn't make any difference. But I think, yeah, you're almost wasting the kind of that moment by having another huge moment. Like, there's definitely sort of a careful balancing of, like, the way you kind of build a crowd up to the crescendo of, like, this is the bit where you're gonna, like, lose your mind. And for this show, it's gonna be CM Punk, so it should go on last, because it's anything that follows that is a waste of time. Everyone's gonna be spent. Like, and I think the same thing, like, with the Daniel Bryan thing, it's gonna become the old news by the time that the CM Punk thing happens at the end of the show.
Yeah, Bryan's an interesting one, because if the reports are to be believed and he is going to debut with the show, I was just thinking then while you were talking, Laurie, it's like, where on the show do you put this? Because do you literally just, like, once Kenny retains over Christian, then you bring him out and do the stare off between Kenny and Danielson? But then that, like, open up the door of just, like, well, what about your own talents that you've been trying to push into the main event scene? You're just bringing in new guy, particularly because he's just facing off against Christian as well. Like, you're just bringing in another, I'm using Bucky O'Hara's for podcast listeners, another ex-WWE guy to, like, step into the title picture. With that as well, like, do you do it after the Punk match? And, like, he comes down to after the face-off with Punk. In that sense, just like, well, I kind of want to see Punk against some of the AEW guys. I don't want to just see him face-off against Danielson again. Obviously, I want to see that match, but I don't need to see that right away. So, like, where on the card, Pete? If Danielson does debut, where would you try and slot this in?
It's genuinely really hard to say, because I think the most impactful place he could go is probably the AEW world title picture, but I don't think I would mind it so much, especially because Christian debuted and immediately was, like, seen holding the title, and that was his goal. He wants to get to the title, but he wasn't immediately put into that program. He had to organically work his way up to that level. He didn't just go, here's Christian and now he's in a world title match. So I think the goodwill that AEW has got from its fans would mean that if Bryan came out and had a stare down with Kenny Omega, one, that's a match that people really want to see. Good God, that has been, like, WWE versus AEW dream match on, that would be near the top of most people's lists, right? Daniel Bryan, but now Bryan Danielson versus Kenny Omega would be right up there. So giving them that tease immediately, I don't think people would hate it, and especially because I don't think they would then immediately do Danielson versus Omega soon after that. He would then have to work his way to that point. It's just like, here's the end goal where we're going to get everyone get excited. And I think it would work perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point. You know, Christian debuted in what, like March? And now we're in August, like, you know, and he's getting his title shot now. September. So this is something they've been sort of slowly building to over time. Laurie, if it was you and you were sort of like looking up and down this card, a lot of people in the chat are saying like something around MJF, like maybe with the Jericho match, something around Miro, maybe, like if you don't want to just pull the trigger on the Omega feud so soon.
Yeah, I think timing wise, not even just what picture I would put Danielson into immediately entering the company. Timing wise for the show, I would either have him open the show or I would have him in the midpoint of the show. Though the two points where you want people to get hot again and then they've got time to cool down and get hot again before the finale. Like, that is what I do. I would literally open the show with Bryan Danielson walking out onto stage and doing a "Hi, I'm here" in AEW speech. Doesn't have to face off against anyone, doesn't have to do any more. He's just going to have to say, "I'll be on Rampage" or whatever it's going to be for later in the week. I would do that.
Do you know what would be really great? Like, sorry to get you off there. It would be really great is to do it right at the end of the buy-in. So it's sort of like, you know, like a minute before like the buy-in closes, the final countdown hits and he walks out and they're being like, "Man, if you want to see what he's going to say, now you've got to go and buy the pay-per-view." As like, ooh, as an advert to like buy the pay-per-view, like that's a pretty good advert to be like, well, I have to now see like Danielson's debut in AEW. I've got to go get the pay-per-view now.
You cut it off at the moment he's on stage being like, and we're going over there now, like, and they'll just replay the package of him walking out. That'd be genius. I like people saying, talking about like him coming out and confronting Miro. I know it's not like, it's not the very top title, but Tony Khan's been saying this week that he doesn't see the TNT Championship as a mid-card title anyway. So I feel like that could be a really fun little callback. You got your little WWE bubble here as well. And then like you can keep Punk facing the young up-and-coming guys that he wants to face. You can kind of continue doing Kenny and Hangman for later in the year. Like, you don't, yeah, like you said, you don't just want these ex-WWE guys to keep coming in and being like, "Oh, Kenny Omega, brilliant, perfect. Let's just do that." Like, because yeah, it's going to get to the point where the joke is going to kind of overtake what people think in the sense that like AEW were pushing this idea that they were going to be about building new stars, and everyone was going to be like, "Lol, you're just going to sign all the ex-WWE guys, though, aren't you?" And then push them, and it's like, well, that is kind of what's happening. And it's also because WWE's obviously released a load of people who are really good. Yeah. So why wouldn't you sign these great wrestlers?
Well, I guess that's it. Yeah. And it's funny about the Omega thing, Pete. And I think it's because like when you have the best wrestler in the world as your top champion, whenever anyone gets released, like, "Oh, I really want to see them face Omega now." Like, I think that's always going to be the problem when you have Omega as the champion or as your top guy. Because even like, you know, Buddy Matthews, the former Buddy Murphy is another name. Like, Buddy Murphy has been like, "That's a match I really want against Kenny Omega." And like, at some point, you've got to do the Page match. So that you can bring these guys in and everything and do these dream matches. But like, really, what fans are clamoring for outside of the dream matches is that Page moment.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. And I think you can do the Bryan Omega tease here, and you can do a Bryan Omega feud after Omega drops the belt to Paige. You don't have to have Bryan go for the title beforehand. Then Kenny drops the belt and goes insane, and probably. And then you can have the Danielson match with Omega after that, and it's not for the title. It's just a match that everyone wants to see, because that match doesn't need a title in it. I'm just going to tell you that much for free. So I think, yeah, if it's a similar amount of time, because it's been, 6 months of Christian being in the company, getting to the point where he's now challenging for the world title, you can have Danielson go for longer before even challenging for the title. You can have him, you know, if maybe Kenny drops the belt at Full Gear to Hangman in November, and then he Revolution in February or something, it's Bryan versus or Danielson versus Omega. I think that would work totally fine, and it would still make sense.
Let's talk about Adam Cole now. So Adam Cole's contract expired with WWE accidentally, essentially, because they did not renew it. He signed a small extension with them that took him through to SummerSlam, reportedly because he wanted to finish up his feud with Kyle O'Reilly, and he didn't re-sign. I believe contracts were offered. Like, I'm only going by what's been reported. Like, I believe contracts were offered. He decided not to take them. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he probably looked at Karrion Kross on Raw and be like, "Nope, I think I'm all right. Actually, I think I'll, I think I'll try my hand elsewhere." And obviously, now that he is out of WWE, the rumor engine starts to whir. It's been like, "Oh, when's he going to show up in AEW?" Because he could show up tomorrow. He could show up. Well, yeah, I mean, technically tomorrow. Like, he could literally go and walk in the door tomorrow because he's a free agent now. He mm-hmm. has no non-compete. He could literally be at All Out on Sunday. So this is what Meltzer had to say about this in The Observer. On the September 1st episode of Dynamite, they teased that Britt Baker would have an announcement of a major free agent signing. This wasn't advertised ahead of time, but was mentioned during the show. When Baker did her interview, she said it was she who had signed a new deal. While there is no way of knowing this, my thought is that if you're AEW, you wouldn't do that tease on your television show, knowing the end result would be disappointment. If you didn't have a deal with Cole for later on, but time will tell on that one. The way that Meltzer writes some of this makes me think it's like he's heard something, but has been told not to say anything, so he isn't. But Laurie, I mean, like, do you kind of expect Cole to be on the way there?
I think the thing that AEW has done really well in the time that it's been on telly is create trust with fans. And you know that at the points that they decide to swerve you, it's not just for the point of, ha-ha, we swerved you, we're never going to do that. It's to lead into and lean into the idea of something in the future. Like, you know, they advertise, they basically all but said CM Punk will be turning up on Rampage, and CM Punk turned up on Rampage, because otherwise Chicago wouldn't be there anymore. But mostly because, yeah, they want fans to trust them and believe in them and allow their stories to breathe, which WWE doesn't have the luxury of doing, because if WWE ever tried to swerve away from something, people would jump down their throats before they got to the point where they brought it back on track, and everyone would say that it was a retraction rather than the intention of the story. Mm. And I think AEW has the kind of goodwill with the fans to be allowed to do stuff like have Britt Baker say there's a big free agent signing. It's funny because it's Britt Baker. We know who she's going out with. We know that that's the suggestion, but it's also great heel work to do that and say that. But yeah, you wouldn't do that unless Adam Cole's going to turn up, surely, because people will back reference that. People remember. People have very long memories in wrestling, and they will be pissed off. So yeah, I think Adam Cole will turn up. I don't think he's going to turn up this weekend. I think Adam Cole could suddenly become the linchpin of the Elite's downfall, because they would want to play off that Adam Cole is dead, Adam Cole is a ghost thing in being the Elite anyway. But him suddenly reappearing back alive again could be the thing that kind of sends all of them off the rails. Obviously, they're already almost off the rails anyway. But I think, yeah, that would be part of the downfall of them. And maybe that's where the Bucks lose their title. I don't know.
I also like this idea as well of just having Cole in the crowd for Britt's match, doing like the hands over the nose.
She didn't take over, yes. That would be very funny.
And that's
funny.
How you debut Adam Cole in AEW. One of the suggestions that I did see from someone, which is the, you know, he gets involved in the tag match, like you were saying there, Laurie, between the Bucks and the Lucha Bros. And I suppose one of the ways you could get around that is because Dynamite did such a good job of getting over the idea that no one can get inside the cage, right? Like, the cage is there specifically designed to keep Gallows and Anderson, Michael Nakazawa and Brandon Cutler and Callis outside of the ring. But what if Adam Cole comes from underneath the ring, like cuts up and essentially like raises up, obviously like raising up from the dead, being reborn into the wrestling world, into this sort of being the Elite world. And that's a way to get Adam Cole into the match. I think that on TV it would work, Pete, but also from a live crowd, if you're trying to see that through a cage and you don't quite see what's going on, you might not get that big Adam Cole pop that you might be after.
I think it depends how it's done. Honestly, it literally just depends on like the framing and the staging of how they do that. I think it could totally work. If he slides out from under the ring and just gets in, it might be a bit weird. If he literally cuts through the ring and comes through, and you just see like a hand come out, and everyone goes, "Whose hand is that?"
And the hand does that.
Either does that or does a more likely that, right? And he literally just like rises himself out of the ring. I think if you if you tease the debut and everyone's attention is focused on, there's this thing that's happening in the ring, what's going on? And then you see him rise up, everyone will then pop, I'm pretty sure, for that. I don't hate the idea of him getting involved here. If you're having Danielson, I wouldn't have Cole debut on this show. I think it's too much for one show to have Punk's return to wrestling, Danielson, and Cole, and potentially someone new like Ruby Soho in the Women's Battle Royal as well. To have all of those in the same show is nuts. Don't get me wrong, make for a great show, but you can drag those things out. You can make future episodes even more exciting by having that later down the line. And I think Cole getting involved with the Super Elite is possible. I would prefer the inverse of what Laurie said, in that maybe the Lucha Bros win on Sunday, the Elite starts to implode a little bit, and Adam Cole is the one that comes in and reignites the Super Elite and gets them all back on the same page together, and then they become an even stronger faction with Cole with them. I think it might be a nice idea.
You mentioned Ruby Soho there, the former Ruby Riot. This is what Meltzer had to say in the situation, because this is obviously in reference to the Casino Battle Royale. Another potential debut is Dory Prunge, I believe is her real name, but now using the name Ruby Soho. Reports from weeks back have her indicated to be in the Casino Women's Battle Royale, likely in the 21st spot, which AEW always tried to deliver a surprise on. Khan did indicate that there would be a surprise in that match, noting that he would be producing the match and the company has announced the other 20 performers. Because we didn't know when we did our predictions yesterday, but they've now got it up to 20. Riho has been announced for the match, which means there's only one spot left. And I think it's quite likely. I actually had Soho doing a sort of a stare down thing with Baker after the title match with Statlander. But I think having her come out as the Joker, which I think... It's funny, like, as soon as she was released from WWE, everyone was like, oh, that works out for All Out. She could be the Joker in the Women's Battle Royal. And so, like, almost to what Pete's point was there, Laurie, if you have got Danielson on the show and you've got Punk, you certainly wouldn't want to do Adam Cole, because that is all three of those are going to overshadow Ruby Soho's debut in the Battle Royal.
I think it's going to be overshadowed anyway. Not to be horrible, but I don't think Ruby Soho is quite on the level of an Adam Cole or a Bryan Danielson or a CM Punk in that sense of like how the wrestling community is kind of interested in this storyline. But I think she's a really good debut, and I think the Casino Battle Royale is a really great place for her, and I think she'll do really brilliantly in AEW. I just don't think I think WWE ruined her cachet really quite horrifically. It's good to see her like getting kind of back on her feet. I think all of her like promo stuff's been really great. Like her little video packages have been really cool, really well shot. And yeah, I don't think you'd have that highly produced level of stuff without knowing where you were ending up. People don't do that sort of thing aimlessly. They like to do it to build into something. So yeah, I can really see her debuting here. But yeah, I would rather they do Ruby Soho and then just do the CM Punk match and actually save Cole and Danielson for later. Yeah. Unless you were going to do them sort of middle of the show.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that one. I think like if the New York show is the problem, because that's where they were going to do the names, I think if like that's brought things forward, like I think that's always going to overshadow the plans that you originally had, which for me, I think it is going to be Ruby Soho as the Joker. I did see someone quite hilarious today, like it would be amazing if it's the Iconics as the Joker. So they're like two entries into the, for one slot, which I think is amazing. Pete, like, what are your feelings on it being Ruby Soho, it being someone else, and kind of like that possibly getting overshadowed by other things on the show?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's inevitable that it's going to be overshadowed by something on the show. I don't think that means you shouldn't do it, because I think AEW really needs an injection in its women's division. Ruby Soho is fantastic. It's a great place for her to do it on pay-per-view in a Casino Battle Royale. They always like to deliver a surprise, as he said. So I still think, regardless of what else you've got planned on the show, still do it, because just for her personally, that's going to be an amazing moment for her, because the crowd are going to pop for it regardless, right? Whatever else happens on the show, it's still going to be a fondly remembered moment. So I think you should do it. And I'm literally going to talk against the point I just made before.
But, good one, Pete.
but genuinely, you could just do everything all on this show. And just have the complete landscape of AEW be completely changed from this one show. Because I think going into it, this is a great card. Don't get me wrong. This is a very exciting card. It's got CM Punk's return to wrestling in forever. It's going to be a really fun show. I don't think it's as strong as some other shows that AEW normally put on. It's still very good, just not at the same outstanding level that we've seen for some of the other AEW cards. You throw in all these debuts, this could be the greatest show that AEW has ever done and will do for probably quite some time afterwards. Just make this the biggest show you can possibly. It's the first, I know we always say like, oh, you know, CM Punk came back on Rampage. That's going to really help the next Dynamite and the next Rampage. This is the first pay-per-view since Punk has come back. And if you haven't stacked the Dynamites and the Rampages after Punk has come back, you can stack the pay-per-view and make it worth people buying that and then saying, you should probably buy the next one. Some crazy stuff happens on pay-per-view. Like, whew.
Yeah.
It could be smart. I don't know. I think whatever happens, we're not going to be disappointed coming out of All Out.
I think so, yeah. I'm just to just put another idea onto having, I should stop calling the Inspiration now, the Iconics, the Inspiration with two Y's. Having them come out as the Joker card is because then you can have Billy Kay go, you've got to be jokering me.
Oh, God. Oh, dear Lord.
Anywho, and actually, as someone pointed out as well, Ruby Soho was literally dressed as the Joker at WrestleMania this year. So
yep.
Mm-hmm. She's probably still got that gear hanging around. So some other names, these ones are much less likely. Like, they're just people who their non-competes have expired now. So we have got Buddy Matthews, the former Buddy Murphy. I've got to get used to these new names now. Adam Scheer, the former Braun Strowman, who I believe now wrestles as Titan, who announced his first thing. He's doing Free the Narrative 2 with EC3 on Vimeo. You've also got The Inspiration and CJ Perry, the former Lana in WWE. Of those four names, I wouldn't expect to see any of them at All Out. I would expect to see some of them on a Dynamite and Rampage coming soon, particularly Matthews and The Inspiration. Those are two that I'm very sure I think we're going to see in AEW. But Laurie, I mean, do you think, would it be overkill to have them also debut on the show? Or do you?
Oh man, I think having the four that we've already talked about is overkill. Like, this is a business where people are going to buy the pay-per-view, like, based on what they already know is on the show. Surprises might make people buy it post-fact to watch that stuff happening, but obviously, like, that's going to end up on YouTube. People will find it otherwise. Like, you are much better in this business spreading out your stuff, and as WWE have proven, generally speaking, pre-advertising as much of it as possible. So giving people the suggestion that something is going to happen, because, yeah, it turns out that if you tell people CM Punk's going to be on Rampage, loads of people watch Rampage. If you tell people that Bryan Danielson's going to turn up, loads of people will watch a thing where he's turned up, like, and they've got, you know, it seems like there's a lot of people floating around there who have got a bit of something about them that people want to see more of. So you might as well pepper them throughout your product to either pop your ratings or get people to buy your next pay-per-view, for instance, because people are going to be buying this one in droves. I don't think they need anything else to sell All Out beyond CM Punk. It's actually economically bad to put all these things into All Out, because you're wasting a lot of stuff that you can use to sell pay-per-views elsewhere by saying, we're going to debut this thing, we're going to do this thing, we're going to do that thing, and you slowly eke out the kind of drama of that.
Yeah, I mean, I also agree with the idea as well of, like, you know, people said this about WWE after SummerSlam, because they brought back Brock and they brought back Becky on the same show. And we had an Ultra Chat in on the SummerSlam review that I hadn't actually considered until they'd mentioned it, but it's like, well, who's left? Like, they've done it now. Like, they've done all of their big returns. Like, it's The Rock, I guess, is pretty much like the only other name, because they've done all the big returns now. Cena's back, you know, Cena's made his return, Becky's made her big return, Brock's made his return. Like, they've now kind of like spunked all of their big return. So I think it's like for AEW, like, yeah, don't do all of them all at once, because, like, you know, you can probably try and spread these out a little bit. Of those names though, Pete, are there any that you think are most likely destined for AEW and you'd like to see there?
Buddy Matthews, 100%. I don't know if he's necessarily going to sign with AEW, someone who I'd really want to be in AEW, But regardless, I think we'll see him at least wrestle a few matches in AEW, whether that be if he signs with Impact, for example. I could still see him being one of the ones that kind of crosses over and does some sort of cross-promotional thing with AEW. Or maybe even through a New Japan link. He could totally do that too. I think wherever he goes, he's going to be fantastic. I personally, selfishly, want to see him in AEW because there's a lot of talent that I want to see him wrestle in there. But wherever he goes, he's going to be great. I personally would also really love to see CJ Perry. And I know you don't just want to rehash WWE gimmicks, but I really want to see CJ Perry with Miro because I just think that pairing works so well together. And Miro's been referencing her all the time. And it's just a really good... When stuff is good, you just do it, all right? It doesn't matter if it's been done before. If it's good, you just do it again. I think that's it. It's an exception to the rule, and you should just do it again.
Laurie, last thing on this. Are there any names on there that you're excited to see? Outside of Buddy Matthews, because I know you'd be very...
Oh, man, Buddy Matthews! Talk about Buddy Matthews!
He's so good, though!
Well, the inspiration, are they called?
You can talk about Buddy Matthews if you want.
What are the Iconics called now?
Inspiration.
The Inspiration. So the Cassidy Inspiration. And I forget what Billy Kay's real name is. I'll look it up quickly. Hold on. You carry on.
No worries. I feel like those two for me are just, they're so watchable. They're so funny. They're so watchable. They've improved a lot in the ring as well, I think. And I feel like they would add something to AEW's women's division. Like they're something that's going to get good TV time and make good moments. And AEW's got a lot of TV show now. Like it's got a lot of TV show. So they need more. They need to feature more women anyway. And the kind of thing that you want from your women is you want them to be watchable. And I feel like the Inspiration, the Iconics were that for WWE because they just create silly, funny moments that people get to watch.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Well, let's get into all of your Ultra Chats here. Also, head on over to beer52.com/wrestle. There's a link for it in the video description down below. You can get yourself 10 free craft beers. A huge thank you to Beer 52, who've been sponsoring us for the last 3 weeks. An amazing company and an amazing service. Delicious beer. Get it from beer52.com. UK viewers only. The intangible one, Cliff Beard, said, my gut feeling is telling me that Ruby doesn't debut at All Out and is instead saved for the New York show. Also, how funny would it be if Brian's return is him leading his old Planeteer stable of Rowan and Buddy? I mean, I don't mind the idea of Eric Redbeard being in there. But yeah, I mean, actually, like, you know, all of Ruby's stuff was done in New York, I think. So, like, it's actually not the worst idea to do that debut there.
No, absolutely not. But yeah, thematically it makes sense. But she was getting, did she get the train to New York, or did she get the train out of New York? I can't remember which. She got the train to New York, didn't she?
I think it was on the latest one. She did a very like last minute, like few frames, and it said destination. It was like Hangman. It had the number of letters, and the number of letters was for Chicago, which also technically works for New York, but New York is two words, not one. So.
And you don't want to get Pete hung up on Hangman rules, because he will talk your ear off.
Yeah.
10 Rizzards. So good to have Laurie on live streams. Love the unpredictable vibe he gives off. I'm really pumped for this weekend. Looking forward to Punk on commentary for Rampage. For me, Brian Ruby will all be on the show. Any extras will be a treat.
What'd I do? Crazy.
Ryder, I would rather see AEW save Adam Cole and Ruby Soho for the New York show. I would love to see Deonna Purrazzo be the Joker and win the Battle Royal to face Britt on Dynamite in a week or two. Champ versus champ. If you're doing champ be champ, that's on pay-per-view, though. I don't think you're doing that. If it's me, I don't think that's for Dynamite. I think that's a pay-per-view match.
And you don't need to waste the win on it either. Like, a champ from another company can walk in and be like, hey, do you want to prove that your company's better than my company? You just don't need it.
Yeah, Pete?
I don't mind it being on a Dynamite. I think something that AEW's done really well is been booking really big matches just on Dynamites because they can, and on Rampages and stuff like that. And they've done really good weekly shows, and the pay-per-views are just even bigger super cards. So I don't think you, especially because they only have like 4 pay-per-views a year, you can definitely, I think that match is worthy of being on a Dynamite. And I don't think it's a demotion or a waste if they do it on a Dynamite or a Rampage.
James Hanley, what if Danielson is the guy that helps push Adam Page into believing he can beat Kenny Omega? Danielson faces Page 3 times. Clean win the first time, roll up win the second. Third win goes to the time limit draw. Page then faces Omega and wins at Revolution. I kind of like that, but I think the story for me, the drama in Page believing in himself, comes through the Dark Order at this point. I think that's what people are really into the idea of, is Page in the Dark Order, Pete.
Yeah, and I think that having Page lose a bunch before he then challenges Omega is not a great story. I think it's a very good WWE story. I don't think it's a great AEW story. I think that the wins and losses matter too much in AEW to then have Paige lose twice to Bryan and go to a time limit draw on the third. That just doesn't work for me.
Well, because the point is that he doesn't believe in himself, right? The point is, the point is, he's very good, but he doesn't, and everyone knows it because he's got a very good win record, but he doesn't believe in himself in this instance. So it's not about the physical game, it's about the mental game.
Yeah. Eric said, I love the thought of all these free agents, but wherever they land, it does need to be paced out. New Punk Rant said, hey lads, it's been a few weeks, but from getting to see CM Punk in the flesh, it's the most euphoric thing I've ever experienced. And I've done LSD. But AEW has been...
I'm crazy.
Unpredictable, just like me.
Someone did say, like, crazy Lauren. but AEW has been killing it and seems unstoppable. I can't wait for what's next. Love you all. Thank you, New Punk Rant. He also said, I don't think it's an all-out thing, but there have been teasers of Hoovy coming back to AEW. Have there been teasers of Hoovy coming back? I'm not saying it will happen. It's going to be cool. I'm hyped for Darby and Punk, Cage and Omega, and Miro versus Lee Johnson. I'm into everything on the card. AEW is the best. I think you might have meant Kingston there, because it's Lee Johnson versus Malakai Black tonight on Rampage. And it's Miro Kingston at the pay-per-view. Harry Burgess says, hey, gents, donated yesterday, but please take my money for the WWE Network. Ollie pronounced my name wrong yesterday, so I thought I'd clear up. It's pronounced Burgess. Once again, love your work. Looking forward to All Out. And lastly, Stephen Guzman said, so excited for All Out and Grand Slam, which I'll be attending. But first, lads, I need some advice. I'm doing a cosplay mixing Marvel and wrestling. So which do I do? War Machine combined with Bullet Club or Iron Man mixed with cleaner Kenny Omega? Love you all.
Oh. I feel like you could do a War Machine Iron Man as like Guerrillas of Destiny, because I feel like their gear, their entrance gear with the masks almost has that Iron Man War Machine vibe.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. But it's one person. So
yeah, no, true. Yeah. But I don't understand how you mix the whole Bullet Club with War Machine. Was it just
I suppose you would just do like a War Machine cosplay, but it would be in like Bullet Club, like with the Bullet
what
Club
about
logo and things like that.
Ghost Rider Bone Soldier.
I like the idea of doing doing Cyclops mixed with the new Karrion Kross thing, because he's already got like the X, but like
he's got his weird little
you could do the mask with like a little visor on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe it works. If only the Viking Experience was still called War Machine, because I would have just said you could do War Machine mixed with War Machine.
War Machine and War Machine, yeah, exactly.
That was so long ago, Luke. They were named that. All right, Granddad.
It's only because I'm watching Ring of Honor All-Star Extravaganza from 2016 for WrestleTalk Extra, and War Machine were on the show. Mm. And it was them in a Four Corners tag match. It was War Machine versus Dalton Castle and Colt Cabana. Versus the Cabinet versus, of this team, Keith Lee and Shane Taylor. Oh, big, lovely game. It was delightful. The highlight of the match, I literally popped out my seat. I haven't watched the match since 2016. Popped out my seat again for Dalton Castle giving Keith Lee a German suplex. It was amazing. couple of more chats have just come in. If Darby versus Punk is the main event, 2.0 drags out a beaten Sting post-match and beats down a tired Punk and Darby. Final countdown plays, Danielson is the equalizer. This sets up Punk, Danielson, and Darby versus 2.0. And Darby gets put over through the association as a six-man tag, which actually, because I did say you could do Sting with Darby and Punk versus 2.0 with Garcia. But yeah, actually, like, Punk, Danielson, and Darby? Like, that's a real big deal.
I mean, who's going to beat them?
Yeah,
no one. They're too big.
The stakes are unbelievable. The stakes are unbelievable, Luke.
Yeah,
William Rossmer. I love Braun Strowman and I love AEW, but I'm not sure if I want Braun in AEW. Only a handful of AEW wrestlers are big enough to make that. Big enough to make beating him believable. Yeah, Braun is a guy. I don't know if it fully works. Like, there's one thing I would say about AEW. I don't know if they do big men particularly well. I'm looking at you, Wardlow. Pete, what do you make of it?
I don't know. I think there might be... It's really difficult to say because Braun was super over in years gone by, 2017, namely. Was super duper over. So you know that there's potential for him to get over with this kind of the AEW style fans, which is a lot of us. There is potential for him to do that. I just don't know if it worked. I feel like that time is maybe past, and I don't think the AEW fans particularly want to see him in AEW. There might be some sort of backlash. Even if he's a heel, I think it will be more go away heat than it would be good heel heat.
What about you, Laurie?
I can see Braun going back to being a faction member rather than being a single star in AEW. I can see him being a single star in Impact.
Eric's got a couple of hits. Said, when is Mongo McMichaels coming back to take out Tully? D-A-D 4444 life. And Bryan Danielson really has to do Jazz Hands in order to get over, because that's what's working for Doudrop. Ten Ruza says Adam Cole showing up in the cage match would be fitting. Ending his NXT career in a cage, starting his new chapter in a cage. I like the idea of that. Could play up that in his first promo. It's quite a nice little bit of poeticness there. And lastly, Imperfect Perry says loose cannon Laurie at it again. Crazy bastard.
Gem you just never know, do you? This is crazy.
Pete, usually at this point, I would ask Denise, what's your plans for this weekend? But I know exactly what your plans are for this weekend because you're working tomorrow, like you usually do, and then you're doing All Out, which means I'm assuming you're getting Monday and Tuesday off then?
I would assume so. I need to speak to people about who's going to cover my stuff on Tuesday. But
I can do the news and images and stuff with you. Like, it's cool. There's a period of time where I used to get really wound up about having to do it on a Tuesday because it meant that I'd have to do that then watch Raw. Nah, it doesn't bother me anymore. Like, it's fine. Because like I don't enjoy what nothing happens on Raw, so I don't feel like I'm getting anything spoiled for me anymore.
No, exactly. That's how I always feel about it. It's just like, oh, I need to do this. I need to. Like, get the, what is it, for what shows? It was for Raw. That was it, yeah. When I started doing the news and stuff for Raw on a Tuesday, it would just be like, oh, okay, I guess I'll have to find the stories, which means I'm going to see what happened on Raw. Oh, no. Anyway. All right, news anyway. Doesn't really matter.
But aside from that, have you got any plans for, like, the Saturday evening or your Sunday day before you're going into the office?
Probably sleep. Would be the main one, just so I'm actually a little bit energetic on the All Out stream, I would assume. Not a whole lot. Just making sure I've got everything in order, because I'm going to be... It's genuinely quite boring for people that don't really care about this sort of stuff. But it's like, you know, for like my news tomorrow, I'm having a new lighting setup. I'm using new lights right now to light me. So I've got to make sure that that's all okay. I had to take in my equipment last weekend to record in the studio, so I had to take that all back yesterday, so I need to make sure I spend some time setting that all up and make sure that's all good on Saturday morning before I record my news, and then I'll just be making sure I've got everything ready. I'm probably going to be going in a little bit earlier on Sunday night to make sure I can set up everything, get all the audio set up for the All Out live stream and stuff, because we've been having some issues with audio for a while, so just making sure that that's all set up and ready to go and all that stuff. So it's nothing very exciting, just making sure that everything runs as smoothly as possible.
Oh, we are heading for a WrestleTalk civil war when it comes to microphones and audio and stuff, because there are some people who are team podcaster mic and there are some people who are team lav mic. Mm-hmm. And I think that those two are just going to come to a head before any decisions are ever made.
Yeah. And the thing is, okay, before I say my opinion, what side do you want?
I mean, I'm team podcast mics. I like the podcast mics, and the reason why I'm team podcast mics is we've never had issues with them, and ever since we made the switch to the labs, they've been nothing but trouble.
Yeah, so I'm also team podcast mics, and I'm pretty sure that the only person who's team lav mics is Ollie.
but like Vince McMahon, he's the only opinion that matters.
Exactly. Yeah, he's the big obstacle that we need to overcome. Look, again, this is a very boring talk for people that don't care about this sort of thing. But Luke, your audio quality is really good, mate. Like,
it's all right today, isn't it?
And you're using a podcast mic for that.
Taken so from we should the just studio.
Like, yeah. So we should like maybe use them for the podcast, because it's a podcast microphone used for a podcast, and you need good audio for a podcast. Yeah. So use that.
I mean, and I totally get it as well. Like, Ollie's argument is, which is an argument that I very much agree with, is that you get a bit more freedom with a lav mic.
Does he mean physical freedom, like gesticulating?
Exactly,
okay,
because if I start to like move over this way and stuff, like the audio doesn't sound quite as good. But if I was on a lav mic, like this would all just be picked up because it's on me all the time. Whereas if I'm on a podcast mic, I have to have it in front of me in order for you to hear what I'm saying.
I get it. I also think he just needs to get better at podcasting.
And we've been doing it together for about 10 years at this point.
Like, just have the mic near your mouth. It's super easy. And you can, they'll be on arms. You can move it. It's super easy. And also, it means that you can do audio gags, because you can go further away from a microphone for like comedic effect, right? I feel like you have more freedom with it being like a static thing in terms of actual creating audio content. That's just me though. I just think we're sacrificing a lot of audio quality so Ollie can wave his hands around.
He does love waving his hands around though.
He sure does.
I'm just going to have a quick check into the old mailbag, see if we've got any emails I wanted to read out. I'm trying not to steal any of your your SmackDown ones, of course.
That's appreciated. Thank you. Also, just before you do read some emails, I was just watching, just before we started doing the show, I was watching a content creator that I enjoy watching. I was doing some Super Mario 64 speedruns, and I was like, yes, gimme. There's a guy who I used to watch who did a load of 70-star runs. And because there was a video by another content creator called Summoning Salt, who does documentaries about speedruns, about the history of the 16-star Super Mario 64 world record, he then got inspired to be like, I'm going to pick up 16-star runs again. So he's been streaming a bunch of him doing the 16-star runs, and I've been watching them, and they're really fun. And it's awesome. I love them. I love the speedruns. It's very cool. And I really love the 16-star run because, like, the world record is now under 15 minutes, which is bananas how quick that is. And also it just means that the runs are pretty quick. So if, like, if they make a big mistake, they're like, ah, reset, let's just start again kind of thing. And you haven't wasted hours on it.
Yeah.
So it's quite
that was it, like... when you and I were like back in sort of the pandemic days when we had a bit more free time on our hands, you and I were both sort of like having a little crack at it because I was like, Terminator is a game, like it was a Terminator on the Mega Drive. And I picked that specifically because I remember like back in the day, like in the 90s, being able to do that game in 10 minutes. So I was like, man, if I can just like refine that, then I could probably like, I think. When I started doing some timed runs, I was in like the top 12, I think, people. Mm-hmm. I can get sub 10, which was my problem. I think I might have got sub 10 once, but you kind of really need to be able to get sub 9, which I wasn't really able to do. Then I didn't have the time. But you were like doing Pokemon and stuff, and I was like, Pete, it's too big. It's too big of a game, mate. It's too big of a task.
It really is. And it's a shame because I know like the stuff you need to know about Pokemon, like the very basic stuff in terms of like, because there's the thing about Pokemon is that it's not mechanically, it's not that difficult. There's a few tricks and there's some like difficult maneuvers you need to do. But generally speaking, you're going around a map, you're following a pretty set path, and you just need to, there's a lot of like free time where animation stuff happen in battles and stuff like that. So you're not constantly like focused having to do movement for like an hour or anything like that. It's just like, you just need to know what's going. There's a lot of stuff to memorize. And I already had a lot of that knowledge already down in terms of like, you know, the order of the gym leaders and what Pokemon they had, what levels those Pokemon were at, what moves those opponents had, and what preference they would have to use what move in certain scenarios, stuff like that. I already had a lot of that just from playing the game a lot. So I already had like an advantage compared to when most people joined it. It's just a very long game, which means you just don't have the time to practice the bits that you actually need to practice. Which is a massive shame. But I was proud of what I did, which was getting from the start to the first gym leader at about this kind of sort of pace that they did for the GDQ run that they had this year. I was like, that's similar. It was maybe like a minute difference. I think they did it in about 17 and I did mine in 18. And I was like,
pretty good.
I'm okay with that. That's all right. And I didn't practice much more than that because it got very hard and long. Tightly
six times. I very much enjoyed I finally watched the Mario 64 blindfold run from Summer GDQ, which is just insane. Like doing the 70 star run there, and like they were saying on that as well that he's already working on like mastering the 128, like the full 128 star run blindfolded, is
absolutely
insane. And I came doing it in like, you know, sub 150 was real good. It was so awesome.
Yeah, exactly. And the consecrator that I was watching before, a guy called Family Jewels, who does a lot of, he does metal covers for video games, that's what it is. But he also does speedrunning at the same time. How he has time to do both, I don't know, but he does it anyway. Yeah, him doing his 70-star runs that he used to do, his ultimate time was to get that under an hour, which he eventually managed to do. And it was awesome. It was super cool. He'd been working on it for like years and finally got his sub 1 hour. To then see that the blindfold run, relatively speaking, wasn't that much longer.
Blindfolded
was insanity. What an amazingly cool run that is.
Because I think there's things like watching people do Punch Out and Super Punch Out blindfolded, you know, like Punch Out on the Wii and things like that. Like that I totally get because it's all sound cues. Like, yeah, you've got to like know what their sound cues are. I'm not downplaying its impressiveness because it is like, it's incredible. I wouldn't be able to do it. It's an incredibly impressive thing to be able to do, but like, I get it. It's looking out for those sound cues and things like that. But then you just put like, no, Super Mario 64, it's a 3D game. and you're playing it blindfolded. And that is all like, no, then I don't get how that works. Like, and you like watch him and the tactics that he uses, like, I sort of get it, but also no, because you're blindfolded, man. Like, I don't get this.
Yeah, it's genuinely insane, because you have all like the reset points, so to speak. It was like, you know, when you enter a level, you're going to enter at the same spot every time. So you have like that reset to be like, okay, now I know exactly where I am, kind of thing. But you have to memorize the exact layout of every level, which is a 3D level. And, you know, minute changes in angle to do certain things would change it. Dress it. You're using a stick for it. It's not even directional buttons. You're using a stick for it. So, like, tiny changes in angle drastically would change your position on the map. And then sometimes you have to, like, re-find a corner and listen to the sound cues of Mario walking against the wall to know what corner you're in. Oh, man. Oh, that was a delightful run to watch.
Impressive stuff. Also, would highly recommend, if you haven't seen it, actually, is the the Super Metroid run, was the Super Metroid race. That's real good with Oats and Goats. That's real, real good. It's a very, very tight, intense race. So yeah. Oh, I do love GDQ.
It's so fun, isn't it? And so just real quick as well, just before we move off from GDQ as well, just want to say that the Super Mario Odyssey run I thought was awesome.
Yeah, you said. I haven't actually watched it yet.
The Torkatoo percent is so interesting, because I've watched Odyssey runs anyway. But the Torkatoo percent is just, you go up to the character called Torkatoo, which basically informs you where certain moons are. It's like, hey, why didn't you get this moon? It'll give you like the title of the moon, whatever it is. Because, you know, there's hundreds of moons in the game. Each of them has its own unique name based on how you get it and where it is on the map and stuff like that. The Torkatoo percent is you have to go speak to Torkatoo, and you can only get moons that Torkatoo tells you can get. So it says like, why don't you get this one, this one, this one? It gives you three every time you talk to it. You have to go then get those three. And if you need to get more from that, you have to go back to Torkatoo, talk to him again, and it will tell you more. And then you have to go again. So it is so much like on the fly planning to go, right, I've got these three moons to get. What's the best order for me to get these in? Which is a nuts amount of memorization. To know the names of all the moons, where they are, how to get them, and the quickest way between them is insane.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
cool.
It's a run. I'm actually planning on watching that, because you recommended when we did After Dark, you recommended that one. So that is on my list of ones to get through, because I've done some of the quicker ones. I've done like the Earthworm Gym, the Quackshot, things like that, because that's my era, man. It's my jam.
Of course, yeah.
But I do like watching some of those technical ones. I felt real bad, actually, because when I had Pooh Bear on the show a couple of weeks back with Denise, and I introduced him to Denise as like, he is the man who was the 12th quickest at Jaws on the NES. And Pooh Bear's like, that used to be a world record. I was like, what's this? Like, yeah, I used to have a bunch of world records on there, but like, because I haven't done any speed running for like 18 months to 2 years, I don't have any world records anymore. I really should get back onto that. And I'm like, yeah, you should, Pooh Bear, because he hasn't done any of the GDQs since they've been remote. And he's just waiting for him to go back in person. And even then, like, he'll probably just do stuff with Mitch Flower, just speed running Mario 3, because that's what he like really enjoys doing, or like doing the Mario Maker relays. But like, yeah, I'd like to see. I'm gonna put a petition out there for Pooh Bear to get back on the speed running train, get back those world records, bud.
Absolutely, I'd love to see that as well. Good guy, Pooh Bear.
Oh, he is a very, very nice guy. I also want to say thank you to everyone who got in touch with me. It's probably been the most feedback I've ever had to something I've said on a podcast before, which is about music for my baby to listen to. Because my wife wants to, you know, doesn't want me listening to my horrible, deathly music. And I completely agree with her. A lot of talk about death, lots of swearing, bit heavy, bit shouty, bit screamy. Probably not good for a baby, really. But thank you to everyone. So many people got in touch with me with like various like orchestral versions of metal albums, or, you know, people saying like Metallica's S&M and things like that. And Real Pokemon Joe said, to the good father, Luco and DAD, if you go onto Google or YouTube, you can find music that's called Rockabye Baby. It's a kid-friendly music for babies. And it's basically where they take an entire album, play it on a xylophone. They've got the Black Album from Metallica, Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, Tool. My youngest kid is 13 years old, so it's been a while since I've had to listen to them. But the experiment was, I played them through a pair of earphones on my wife's womb so that the fetus could listen to them. When the baby was born, playing it in his nursery or in the car. My oldest is 19, and he loves 90s, early 2000s new metal as well as classic rock. Can't say the experiment worked because the youngest kid listens to pop and country like his mum does. Thanks for everything you do. Gem that, Gem. Support Rest Talk, support each other. While you're at it, support Real Pokemon Joe if you like Pokemon.
So yeah, I do like you. Pokemon.
So thank you everyone who got in touch with me about that. I do need to work out what I'm going to do with that. Because again, I was listening to like Primus in the car yesterday when I was driving home from the office yesterday. And I was like, well, I'm very much enjoying this, but this might just annoy a child because...
Yeah.
It is. It's an acquired taste.
I think you've got to come to the realization that, you know, and I think you've accepted it, that not everyone has the same taste you do. And especially it's going to be tough because they are your family members, but it might be tough to come to realization that they're not going to like the same things you do.
Probably not. They're old sad dad.
Yeah, exactly.
On his Spotify. Yeah. And it's really dumb.
I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, I don't understand how people of an older generation can just look at new music and go, oh, it's all rubbish. I'm like, have you not heard any of the great music that's coming out? There's obviously so much great stuff that's coming out and people just dismiss it. I'm now at the age where I listen to new music, I go, well, it's all rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all rubbish now, isn't it?
I'm now one of them. I'm just at that age now. Now I finally understand.
Yeah.
I was in an Uber yesterday that was playing the radio. I was like, I feel like they've just played the same song 5 times. Apparently they were different, but they all sound exactly the same to me.
Yeah, I'm having a bit of microphone issues. I've actually had a lot of technical issues today. I left my charger at the office, so I had to go to PC World
and
buy myself a new charger.
That's not the first time you've left something at the office, is it?
Since I've come back.
Since we've started going back to the office.
No, I think this is... No, I thought I'd left my hard drive there, which has got my podcast up in it. Turns out it was just under my desk at home. Found it. Now, what was I going to say about music? No, there's a South Park episode. This was years and years and years ago, maybe like 10 or so years ago, they did an episode where one of them like has a birthday and all of a sudden their music tastes change. And now all the music, like everyone else hears music, but you just hear fart sounds. Mm-hmm. And like... That is a lot how I find about.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Also, I don't know whether Luke is frozen.
It's a great song, mate.
It's one of the two.
No, it's me. Don't you worry. It's very much me. It's good, Joe. I was about to bring this to a close, really, Pete, because I've got to get out of here. I've got another podcast I need to edit for Cineworld. Go and listen to the Cineworld podcast, by the way. Have a Google in your old podcast app. What's on at Cineworld Cinemas? If you just search Cineworld, you should be able to find it. It's me and Ollie talking about movies and stuff. And oh, there's some extra intros and outros like we do for this. And it's full of waffly nonsense. And it's very, very fun. Apart from that, have a lovely weekend, everyone. Enjoy All Out. I'll see you on Monday for the All Out review. But Pete will be back tomorrow with Randy Andy Datson doing the SmackDown podcast, which will be pun-tastic. So thank you all so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.